ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Reading this morning text 14 of Canto 4, Chapter 22, entitled Prithu Maharaja's Meeting with the Kumaras.
Bhavatsu Kushala Prashna
Bhavatsu Kushala Prashna
Atmarameshu Nishyate
Atmarameshu Nishyate
Kushala Kushala Yatra
Kushala Kushala Yatra
Na santi mati vrittayah
Na santi mati vrittayah
Bhavatsu unto you
Kushala
good fortune
Prashnaha
question Atma Arameshu
one
who is always engaged in spiritual bliss Na ishyate,
there is no need of.
Kushala,
good fortune.
Akushala,
inauspiciousness.
Yatra,
where?
Na,
never.
Santi,
exists.
Mati vrittayah,
mental concoction. Translation, Prithu Maharaj continued, My dear sirs, there is no need to ask about your good or bad fortune because you are always absorbed in spiritual bliss. The mental concoction of auspicious and inauspicious does not exist in you. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita Antya 4.176 it is said, Dvaite Bhadra Bhadra Jnana Sava Mano Dharma E Bhava E Manda E Sava Brahma. In this material world, the auspicious and inauspicious are simply mental concoctions because such things exist only due to association with the material world. This is called illusion, or Atma Maya. We think ourselves created by material nature exactly as we think ourselves experiencing so many things in a dream. The spirit soul, however, is always transcendental. There is no question of becoming materially covered. This covering is simply something like a hallucination or a dream. In Bhagavad Gita 2.62 it is said, Sangat sanjayate kama, simply by association we create artificial material necessities. Dhyayato vishayan pungsa sangas teshu pajayate. When we forget our real constitutional position and wish to enjoy the material resources, our material desires manifest and we associate with varieties of material enjoyment. As soon as the concoctions of material enjoyment are there, because of our association, we create a sort of lust or eagerness to enjoy them. And when that false enjoyment does not actually make us happy, we create another illusion, known as anger. And by the manifestation of anger, the illusion becomes stronger. We are illusioned in this way. Forgetfulness of our relationship with Krishna follows, and by thus losing Krishna consciousness, our real intelligence is defeated. Boo-hoo. In this way we become entangled in this material world. In Bhagavad Gita 2.63 it is said, krodha bhavati sammoha sammohat smriti vibhramaha smriti bhramshad bodhi nasho bodhi nashat pranashati. By material association we lose our spiritual consciousness. Consequently, there is the question of the auspiciousness and inauspiciousness, or of the auspicious and inauspicious. But those who are atmarama, or self-satisfied, have transcended such questions. The atmaramas, or self-realized persons, gradually making further progress in spiritual bliss, come to the platform of association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the perfection of life. In the beginning, the Kumaras were self-realized impersonalists, but gradually they became attracted to the personal pastimes of the Supreme Lord. The conclusion is that for those who are always engaged in devotional service of the Personality of Godhead, the duality of the auspicious and inauspicious does not arise. Prithu Maharaj is therefore asking about auspiciousness, not for the sake of the Kumaras, but for his own sake. This is delightful. A Shaktivesh avatar having a conversation with a Shaktivesh avatar. Like, how do such people converse? How's it going? Conventional languages. How's everything? When people say, Maharaj, how's everything? Everything. That's a big question. Everything's under Krishna's controls. Everything's just fine. Yeah, but, you know, what about all the problems? Everything's just fine. So this is a conventional greeting that's elevated to the transcendental platform is two transcendentalists interacting. And one of them is in Lila, he's a Shaktivesh avatar, but he's in the capacity of a king. Another, the four Kumaras, are in the capacity of Brahmana, and so the Kshatriya, the king, is offering his respect to the Brahmana. Also, although the Kumaras are little boys, their age is, they're the oldest sons of Brahma. Next to Lord Brahma, they're the oldest personalities in the universe. And so, they're in another dimension, they're senior to Prithu Maharaj. And further, it was known that they previously were impersonalists, then became personalists, and most exalted devotees. They're the heads of a sampradaya. So by spiritual qualification, Prithu is turning to them as his superior. So in those ways, and perhaps more, there's the subordinate and the superior. So the subordinate is addressing the superior. And he, the subordinate, is interested in his and his citizen's well-being. He's taking the position in the case of a king who's like his citizens needing well-being in their life. And so he's inquiring purposefully into the condition of well-being. That the previous verse, Prithu Maharaj inquired from the sages about persons entangled in this dangerous material existence because of their previous actions. Could such persons, whose only aim is sense gratification, be blessed with any good fortune? So, he's a king interested in the welfare of his citizens. Just like anybody that has dependents or those who are looking up to them in some way or another, they're concerned about their welfare. Isn't it natural? And of course the context is a king and his citizens, but let's step out of that for a moment and say devotees of the Lord, or at least aspiring to become devotees of the Lord, being trained on the quality and characteristics of a devotee of the Lord. That's us in this room. There's a responsibility as we get up from the temple room and go about our affairs of the day and our lives in general. If those who are theistic in conduct and devoted to the Supreme Lord don't know what the standard of character and quality is, then how can anybody know? Or it will not be known. So brahmanas, generally, in Vedic culture, are to guide the rest of society. And amongst the brahmanas, the topmost of the brahmanas are the Vaishnava brahmanas. Where we may not be brahmanas as yet, but by being trained to become Vaishnavas, this is an essential teaching of Bhaktisiddhanta and in general our sampradaya, but the qualification of a brahmana is to know Brahman, and to know Brahman in the topmost feature of Bhagavan, this is a Vaishnava. So it's like the bud of a flower and the opened flower. To know Brahman and to know Bhagavan, it is a Vaishnava. To know Bhagavan. So we're being trained like that. My point is, we're not kings. We're trying to become Vaishnavas. And as such, we have a responsibility within the world. It's nice to be responsible and have responsibility, and it's not like, oh, they didn't give me any service. We have our service for both. to be example-setting personalities, to be exemplary of the life of a Vaishnava, the life of the topmost personality within society, so society will have examples both by behavior and also by speech. So this applies to us, in short. Concern about the welfare of others who, due to the influence of the age of Kali, due to the absence of proper direction and so forth, are engaged in abominable activities. I mean, abominable activities. There's just, the list is a long list of abominable activities. You don't need to make a long list. Abominable activities. And that person may have started off being just like a nice person, but in contact with the contaminating influences, the toxic influences of this age, by association one may become corrupted and engage in abominable activities. So whether, however one gets there, what path one follows to get to become an influenced victim of the age of Kali, it's a natural compassionate concern, as Prithu is asking about his citizens to the Kumaras, that devotees have concern about what to do. Not from the position of salvationist, not like, let me get out of here, these people are crazy. Not that, nor from the, you know, the condescending position of one who thinks I'm better than they are, what from my treasury of goodness can I give to those that don't have it? Not in that prideful position of do-gooder. From a transcendental position, like Prahlad Maharaj, classic example, where he was speaking to Lord Nrisimhadev, what can be done for these unfortunate people? I mean, the language is mudha, they're fools and rascals. But he's not thinking condemning, he's thinking compassion. Similarly, Prithu is above sinful activity, but he's seeing the tendency of conditioned souls. This isn't a Kali Yuga situation, but there's a tendency to be engaged in activities whose only aim is sense gratification. How can good fortune come into their lives? That's the entry point of their dialogue. So he's, now we'll go back to the, you know, the conventional, hey, how's it going? You know, a more cultured way is Prabhupada liked very much to refer. I mean, I heard it so many times, 20, 30 times, when Vishvamitra Muni came to visit Dasarath. And Dasarath greets Vishvamitra Muni, which is similar to Prithu greeting the Kumaras. Dasarath greets Vishvamitra Muni and asks, how is your effort to achieve spiritual perfection proceeding? That was the entry point of their, like, hey, how's it going? How's everything? Inquiry into auspiciousness or the transcendental dimension of auspiciousness is transcendence. The acknowledgement of Prithu is that inquiring about how is the auspiciousness faring in your life? Like, you know, how are things going? How is auspiciousness faring in your life? Are you well? Are you happy? Are things... yeah, like that. So, thinking of when Angira Muni visited the palace of King Chuchiketu, and he could see King Chitraketu was, while very religious, and he had received him in such a proper religious manner, he could see he was very disturbed and said, my dear king, what is the effect of auspiciousness happening in your life? Are your citizens happy? Is your treasury full? Is your army very strong? Are you not happy in all respects? You look miserable. And then Chitraketu blurted it out. Yeah, I'm miserable. I want a son. Kings are supposed to have a son to carry on the dynasty and help. So, for personalities like the Kumaras, the point is of the verse is, there is no question of auspiciousness or inauspiciousness. There's no presence of inauspiciousness in the life of a transcendentalist. Here Prabhupada is referring to verses from chapter 2, Bhagavad Gita. 262 and 263. In that section of Bhagavad Gita, it's describing Bhuti Yoga. Previously, the section is Sankhya Yoga. Sankhya Yoga means analysis of matter and spirit. And Bodhi Yoga is staying fixed, singularly fixed, in a spiritual conception of oneself and of the goal of life, and directing all activities accordingly. So for us, that's devotional service. Bodhi Yoga and Bhakti Yoga are, in that sense, one and the same, just referring to a different aspect. One is the intelligence that's driving it, and the other is the devotion that's surrounding it. A life of singular, exclusive devotion to the personality of Godhead. When that condition exists, then there's one kind of association with the personality of Godhead, and then there's no inauspiciousness. There's not even material auspiciousness. It's transcendence. The reference he makes is Sangat Sanjayate Kama, Kama Krodha Vijayate. When one associates with certain qualities, one accepts those qualities. If one, like Prabhupada was asked once, Swamiji, how do you become sincere? And Prabhupada's reply was, how do you become a drunkard? You go to a bar, a drinking establishment, and spend day and night and night and day and day and night, and eventually become a drunkard. How do you become an intellectual? You go to a university and associate with intellectuals, and day and night and night and day, and that quality may become your quality. So how do you become sincere? Associate with sincere. So through association we develop qualities, is the point. And so a transcendentalist can, a not fixed transcendentalist can become influenced by the modes of nature, and that's the next verse. Then, Dhyayato Vishayan Humsa. Dhyayato, meditating upon sense gratification. Sangas Teshu Bajayate. When you come in contact with the material energy and become influenced by the material energy, and then the rest he's in not in Sanskrit reference, but in English has drawn out the step by step, the domino effect. When the cause effect sequence. One develops a desire for such and such. And then developing a desire for such and such, one further meditates upon obtaining such and such. And then, things are marshaled around that goal of attaining such and such. And then the happiness that's expected from getting such and such doesn't happen, so one feels frustrated. And then another illusion is created, the illusion of anger, and so forth and so on. And this way, one's real intelligence gets lost. That's what these verses are describing. And what's that real intelligence? It's what's the second part of chapter 2, Bhagavad Gita, Bodhi Yoga. Fixing all activities focused on one thing, attaining the shelter of the personality of Godhead and his happiness. Lost. And then one is in the material pool. Help! Only many, we may not call help. We just yell at people or whatever. Display anger of different kinds in our dealings with one another and so forth and so on. And we have material life. For personalities like the Kumaras, there's neither materially auspicious or inauspiciousness in them. And that's the reference that's being made. The reference that's being made is from Chaitanya Charitamrita Antyalila, chapter 4. And this is a discussion between Lord Chaitanya and Sanatana Goswami. the long narrative of the difficulties of Sanatana Goswami's infection in his body with oozing, Prabhupada calls it wet itches, like sores that where pus is coming out and it smells bad. And he's like, it hurts. And he doesn't want to be near Lord Chaitanya because Lord Chaitanya will embrace him, and then this yucky stuff smears on the body of Lord Chaitanya and he feels awful. But Lord Chaitanya objects and says, from this section, actually your body is transcendental and never material. You are thinking of it, however, in terms of a material conception. And the purport Bhaktisiddhanta is quoted in his commentary saying, one who is fully absorbed in devotional service, their body becomes spiritualized, it's not material. And it's like a 5-page purport. And then he says to Sanatana Goswami, even if your body were material, I still could not neglect it. For the material body should not be considered either good or bad. Now that's gyan. One is the gyan. Now even if it's, the body shouldn't be considered good or bad. Purport. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Sanatana Goswami, since you are a Vaishnava, your body is spiritual, not material. Therefore, you should not consider this body to be subjected to superior or inferior qualities. Moreover, I'm a sannyasi. Therefore, even if your body were material, a sannyasi should see no distinction between a good body and a bad body. And then there's one more verse before this one that's quoted. And it's a verse from the 11th canto. It says the same thing. 11th canto, chapter 28. Quote, anything not conceived in relationship with Krishna should be understood to be illusion or maya. This is a Chaturshloki verse message also, but this is the 11th canto. That which is seen separate, to exist separate from Krishna, its source, seeing like that is maya. It's maya. Whether good or bad, it's maya. None of the illusions uttered by words or conceived in the mind are factual. Because illusion is not factual. There's no distinction between what we think is good and what we think is bad. When we speak of the absolute truth, such speculations do not apply. So this is, again, transcendental knowledge about what's what. And from the perspective of a transcendentalist, this notion of good and bad is not part of what a transcendental knowledge person thinks of. There's a nice verse, chapter 4, Bhagavad Gita. Shubha ashubha palayar evam mokshuse karma bandhanai. It's describing the principle of sacrifice, and when sacrifice is performed unto the Supreme, then the whole situation, not only the person and the priest, but everything becomes situated in transcendence. The place, the objects, everything. Like, the temple room. This is not impersonal, this is a personal, but the items that are on the altar, they're brass or marble or something, wood or something. But because they're utilized in service to the Supreme Lord, the consciousness is like that. They're seen in that way and they're addressed in that way. Therefore, they become sanctified and there's a word for it, tadiya. Spiritual paraphernalia. So like that, little item that's on the altar and placed on people, there's a ritual involved, but it's not just a ritual. Those things which are utilized in the service of the Lord, they become spiritualized. Fully. Material objects, inanimate, not conscious objects, become spiritualized, and then they can act to spiritualize, like, you know, the flowers that we offer, or the fire that we offer, or the incense, so this, the incense that's offered, because it's presented in sacrifice, that everything becomes situated in transcendence. That's knowledge. One may not have that knowledge and think, "What? This is an unusual ritual." Or, really not knowing, just being a religious Hindu, saying, "Oh, this is very nice. They do nice rituals here." But there's a transcendental benefit that helps us, our consciousness, become moved to the position of transcendence. And from the point of knowledge, that's chapter 28 of 11th canto, that's where everything is situated. Now here, Lord Chaitanya, this verse that's quoted, Lord Chaitanya speaking to Sanatan Goswami, Dvaite means in the material world, Bhadra Abhadra Gyan, understanding auspicious and inauspicious, good and bad. Sabha Manodharma, that's all speculative creations. Manodharma. Speculative creations of Dharma. What's Dharma? Auspicious, inauspicious. This is good, this is bad. It's all Bhrama. Not like Lord Brahma. Br, that's a different spelling. This is Bhrama. It's one of the four defects of the conditioned soul, Brahma. It's a mistake. Like, the conditioned souls are inclined to engage in four errors or four kinds of behaviors that are, you know, diminished from the transcendental position. The four defects of the conditioned soul, one of them is Bhrama. Mistake. It's a mistake to consider auspicious, inauspicious from the perspective of transcendent, from this perspective everything is for Krishna's service. If a little side thought over here. We selected the theme for our Gita Nagari retreat. Actually, you know, several of us had a little powwow. And the theme is going to be acceptance and progress. So it's kind of a continuation of the theme of say yes to Krishna. But this is like more specific, say yes to what? In relation to Krishna. So good fortune, ill fortune, reversals, calamity, circumstances change, we wish something and it doesn't happen the way we wish, and all kinds of things. And how to accept, and from that position of acceptance, progress. So, if we see things in relation to Krishna, it's all good. The problem is we don't see things in relation to Krishna. We see things in relation to sense enjoyment. That's what the purport says. That's the material program. And we're trying to like carry our material program into devotional service to Krishna. You know, take our dirty laundry with us into the spiritual world. And you're supposed to leave your dirty laundry at the door. And go, you know, clean. But we, you know, our considerations of this is pleasing to me and that's not pleasing to me, the auspicious and inauspicious, apparent at least, fruits of auspiciousness and inauspiciousness, it has to do fundamentally with our acceptance of Krishna. And our, based on our relationship with Krishna, we can accept his arrangements for us. This is this acceptance. And then from that position, it's the platform of Sambandha Gyan, just like to clarify, spiritual conception beyond theoretical. Okay, I've got a spiritual conception, I'm spirit soul. Wait a minute, this person just insulted me. What, the spiritual conception just went out the window. And so did Krishna, and you know, I'm caught up in my stuff. And then I go, whoops, I got caught up in my stuff. What happened here? So it's a whole weekend of massaging that topic and from different angles and different speakers and things. Knowing where we are, knowing where we want to be, and feeling bad because I'm not where I want to be, and all of that, you know, all these things. So the Kumaras are beyond that position, and Prithu is asking as if he's not beyond that condition. He's asking for his welfare. He's saying, you, my dear sirs, you little boys, my dear sirs, because you're fixed in transcendence, there's no point in my saying, hey, how's it going? Like, you know, how is auspiciousness playing itself out in your life? But I'm interested in auspiciousness for myself and for my citizens. And surely you understand that topic, and please bless my citizens and me so we can go from the position of suffering due to anticipation of happiness through sense gratification into the realm of transcendence like you. Please guide us. Okay, so see if there's any discussion on this topic. Yeah.
Within the context of daily temple life, there are different varieties of consciousness that devotees manifest in the process of the day and through the process of their life. It's inevitable that there's going to be misinterpretation of people's actions or words. There's going to be conflict, at least internal conflict, if not external confrontations and things. How do we anticipate that, and how do we resolve that from a management perspective?
It's a little bit, I'll reply this way. Sometimes I've been asked in different venues to speak about stress management. So, you know, in corporate places, for example. So I said, you have to allow for the fact that I'm, a spiritual practitioner, so I'll give you the spiritual perspective. And the best way to manage stress is to not have any. And that's called Vaikuntha. And Vaikuntha means being fixed in the spiritual conception, and whatever is happening is, you know, inconsequential because this is reality, and the rest is the byproduct of persons who have turned their attention away from reality. So if you fix your attention upon the personality, you know, I don't say it in the corporate world, but you're fixed in the spiritual conception, no anxiety, no stress, no problem. Then there's managing it. Supposing you're not fixed in transcendental conception, then there's managing it, which is what your question is, from a management perspective. certainly the starting point, the transcendental advice is pause. That's called a mode of goodness. Remember Krishna. I try to remember Krishna. Go towards the position of transcendence. Take a deep breath, which is, you know, biologically, physiologically, it has a way of calming the mind, as well as, you know, mode of goodness. And then, you know, ideally, in the devotee community at least, consider service to Krishna. Not, you know, my interest just got stepped on, or something like that. My idea of the way things should happen was ignored. Instead, they did something else, and look at the mess. Or whatever the situation is. Think from that position of service. Now, supposing one isn't able to, oh, that's a great idea, but I can't do that because I'm caught up in the modes of nature. Then come down a little bit of managing the situation. But, you know, that managing the situation can start with acting in transcendence instead of reacting in the modes of nature. Supposing one says, oh, that's a nice idea, but, you know, I'm in the modes of nature. So then it should be understood for such a person and such a situation, I'm buying the grief. I purchased it. I've invested myself in the grief. Now I own the grief, and I want the grief to be resolved. So anyway, it's just an acknowledgement of my participation in the problem. It's not like the problem is over there. The problem is, if I was so transcendental, if Prabhupada was in this situation, would the situation stay the same, get better, or get worse? I ask myself that question regularly. It's a really easy one to answer. If the situation is down, it's not because of the situation, it's because of my participation. I'm part of the problem because my consciousness isn't elevated. The problem isn't over there, the problem is over here. So that's an essential part. Then, you know, go down a little bit more. And then comes, you know, what Brajabihari is super skilled at. I mean, he's not like, not only he has a master's degree in this subject of conflict mediation and resolution, CDR, conflict dispute and resolution, he's gifted. So one of the things that those people do, people that do what he does, is take the time to find out the needs, interests, and concerns of this party and the needs, interests, and concerns of that party and see if there's some way to match them. Because, you know, a third party can be detached from the situation. They're not to blame for the situation. They're like trying to help the situation. And, you know, what's the need over here? And then what's the need over here? And maybe just see how the needs can be met and the heat goes out. But that's a third party participation in managing the situation, helping to resolve the situation. That's, you know, if Brajabihari doesn't have to be in town, it depends on the scale of the issue, but you know, just a village elder can play that role of being neutral, hey, you know, and see, not saying you're right and you're wrong, not being a judge, but understanding rather what's the need of this person, assuming there's, you know, with the general acceptance of assuming there's sincerity on the part of the prabhus involved, what is it? You know, the dispute is over this, but behind this, is there some need? What's their need? And if their need can be met, the dispute can be resolved. And if the need isn't met, you can, you know, blow on the boil, and it may feel, okay, it's relieved now, but the need still isn't met. So what's as part of the and the person has to understand, you know, be able to articulate what that is. And sometimes people aren't really so much in touch with their feelings and what their needs are and something. Anyway, so that's that it adds to the problem. Then you go down further. Kick a few people. It's when there's what I like in principle in response to the question you're asking is before there's problems or and noting that there will be problems, what's the solution to those problems that you know that are going to be problems? And that's just that our conventional language is training and education, you know, helping to elevate souls to a higher plane of consciousness. And when there's a higher plane of consciousness, they know how to be, to accommodate, to respect diversity. This person's needs and interests are different than mine. And that's okay. Not like they're bad or they're wrong, because after all, I'm right. Just ask me. So being able to respect differences and see, but it's training. Seeing the devotion that's within the other person, accepting their differences, even accepting their shortcomings, and encouraging that person and all the community members to address their, to utilize their strengths and in a conscientious and respectful manner to address their shortcomings and help them grow and serve as a Vaishnav. And the more a Vaishnava is trained to be a Vaishnava, the more we have a Vaishnava community. I like that much better. That approach is much better than resolving conflicts. It's training and education. I'll say this last little piece from the position of a manager. A fair amount of the time of a manager is spent, using Niranjan Marsh's language, picking up the pieces. So that's not necessary, or it's not, it could be diminished if there's more effort in training and education. Training our devotees, educating our devotees, elevating the devotees. But if we're so involved in picking up the pieces, we're not engaged in training and education. We're engaged in solving problems and resolving conflicts, and it's very time consuming. Oh, this is very, so better we have, you know, a trained, at least a trained core, and those trained core are proactively, regularly, humbly, service-mindedly trying to, you know, train our members. You know, we celebrate when we're expanding, but expanding can also mean more problems because the persons aren't trained, and then they come together and there's conflict. Then we, you know, hey, what's going on? And all that. So, strong, it's brahminical influence. It's elevating by knowledge and by good example and by devotee care and, you know, the proactive instead of the reactive kind. That's where the administration and brahminical strength go well together. They really need one another. They need one, both need one another. Okay. Anything else? Yes.
So this chapter talks like more on the high level transcendental platform of the devotees.
Well, this is Prithu speaking to the four Kumaras. It's pretty high level.
Yeah, it's like, so in that level there is no auspicious and inauspicious thing arise. So what my question is like, so for us or for the practitioners of the devotees, so this word auspicious and inauspicious can be looked at in as like helps us as a good rules, good regulations, disciplining us, and in that way can be looked at or see the word as auspicious, and so that helps us to bring us to that level of
yes.
Go on the side of the transcendental.
Yes.
And not on the other side. So
yes.
We can still see that as so.
Yeah.
Because even in the temple, in the spiritual practices, activities, whatever we do, whether it's rituals or, but with understanding that ultimately it goes everything to Krishna. So we see or talk like, okay, this is auspicious things to do. So this is not the right thing. So in that way we can see that, right?
Yes.
That helps us in a
yes.
Way.
And we have our standards. There are 64 items, okay. For example. So if we're knowledgeable, if we read about Nectar of Devotion, then we have those items, and we do those items. And, you know, we have courses on Vaishnava etiquette, Vaishnava sadachar, and we follow those, because that's auspicious. And it creates, it opens up the door of transcendence. So go ahead. What's your question?
That's what my question is, like, can we see this auspicious and inauspicious with that idea?
Yes.
And even we can say it out, we can talk it out, or even in our thoughts.
Yes, yes.
So it is okay to
yes.
Say that?
More than okay. Something else? Okay, thank you very much, Prabhupada Ki.